You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. Alright, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are the Brothers Layman, your co-host Chris
and Jonathan.
It's been a battle, baby.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's been. I know we've been off for a couple weeks. First, I want to give a shout out to all the mothers for Mother's Day.
Absolutely.
From last week.
Absolutely.
Hope all the ladies enjoyed themselves. Had a nice time out, too.
Absolutely.
I want to give a shout out to our listener, M. In, wait, let me pronounce this correctly. M. In Coonsie. M. In Coonsie.
That's what it looks like.
He's a new listener. Found us through the Jeff is Moody show. Shout out to you, man, for hitting us up. And
yeah.
You know, appreciate the kind words for the show. And,
absolutely, absolutely.
You know, talk back and forth on Twitter. So thanks for checking us out, man.
Yeah, and definitely want to give you a shout out. And definitely want to give a shout out to Moody, man. Because, you know, Moody always plugs us in his show. So, you know, that's what's up.
Yep, on the sports news and entertainment.
Absolutely.
If you want to tune in to somebody who could give two F's about the people he talks about, tune in to Jeff is Moody.
Absolutely. He's hilarious. But yeah, shout out, man. Thank you for following us. And mm-hmm. Want to give a shout out to all the followers. We have broken the 500 follower mark.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's an accomplishment in itself. So moving on to 1,000 and then so on.
Trying
and
to do so on. You know, slow growth, but growth exactly. Nonetheless.
Exactly. So definitely want to thank y'all for checking us out and staying with us. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And as we continue to grow, the more pressure is growing as we are now officially done with second round of the NBA playoffs. We are on to the conference finals.
Yep.
A lot to talk about there.
It's a little bit easier for Chris to talk this go around. It's a little bit harder for me to talk this go around because I'm depressed, if you can't already tell.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I still got a little bit still lingering around just while we should be there and could be moving on with the way things was going.
Mm-hmm.
But that, and of course, you know, we're going to get into some Deflategate and all that good stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Cheaters.
Yeah,
that's never gonna
go never away. Prosper. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so we're gonna get into all of that and of course do our awards at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So if y'all want to get at us, talk with us, contact us, any of that good stuff, you can reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter @brotherslayman, on the hotline 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, let us know, and we will definitely get back at you.
Holla. That's what's up. All right, so we got to dive into today's game first. That series that went seven games,
that should not have gone seven games.
Very surprising. Rockets game seven, basically from end to end.
Very disappointing.
Won this game. Wow. This Clippers are up 3-1, back-to-back, handing out ass whoopings in the Staples Center.
Austin Rivers stirring the pot.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm kicking your ass, nigga. And then Houston, I don't know what happened, but Houston, the light came on. Somebody said something to him that got him. I don't know what happened, but next thing you know, we going to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, it's shocking. I mean, up 3-1, you know, even Barkley said that there's that tendency to feel like, all right, we got, you know, we got a three-game lead.
complacency.
You know, right. We know the other team is, you know, they're down. This next game is that's it for them, so they're going to come out hard. And game five was a blowout for Houston. I guess the Clippers were just like, okay.
Don't make that mistake.
Yeah. Clippers is like, all right. You know, I think they didn't really like, all right, we got game five. There's nothing to worry about. Like, we going home for game six.
Yep.
Game six, up 19. I mean, at one point, it was bad. I mean, for Houston looked like they were ready to just give up and fold. I mean, we were even friends of mine. We were over there texting about, all right, how long before in the fourth quarter does Dwight get his second tech and get out? Because we know how he get. He don't, because he was looking kind of emotional and frustrated. We're like, how long before he get himself kicked out so you don't have to watch the rest of this game? And
no James Harden.
Yep, no James Harden.
No James Harden. Hey. Kudos to Kevin McHale for sticking to his guns.
Hey, man.
Because to sit your star, that's a bold move, when you're closing the gap, too, to just keep him on the bench. You like.
And look, I mean, we were at the point where everybody, Twitter, all that, we were just like, Kevin McHale's whack. Dwight Howard, all Laker fans and all LA people just loving. And look at him looking like a little bitch, just getting emotional. And he asked that's why he ain't winning nothing. And the Clippers did something.
Stop playing defense. Yep,
totally stupid. You had them beat. All you had to do was get your Bruce Lee snapping necks.
Yep.
Let's snap their neck right now.
You got to keep your foot on the gas, man. It happens all.
And they let it up. For some reason, they had the lead, stopped going to Blake. Blake was hot. Blake was hitting, was like, I think, 10 to 13 at the time. Single coverage. Just keep feeding them.
Josh Smith went nuts.
Yep. Well, then he had what? Jason Terry, Josh Smith, Corey Brewer, Dwight Howard. I don't remember who else.
They were just hitting threes after three after three, and it was like,
wait a minute.
They're closing this gap. Sudden, yeah, they're closing this gap. You had fans left already.
Blake couldn't hit nothing. Paul couldn't hit nothing.
Woo.
They role players wasn't hitting shit all game. All of a sudden, you know, Dwight Howard just grabbing every rebound.
I ain't even going to
front. Intimidating.
I turned that game off after the third quarter. I was like, all right, this is over.
Well, because the problem is once they dropped it to like, I think, what, 13, I believe, or 17 or something, well, they made like a nice little quick spurt at the end of the third. And then it was just I think it was like 49-15 or 40-15 outscored in the fourth.
I dozed off and woke up and was like, wait, what? Yeah. The Clippers lost? Oh,
Clippers
shit.
Were up 19, turned back on the game, and they lose by 12. Not by two, not by six, 12.
Straight 31-point swing.
Not only did they take the lead, they just built the lead up like, shit. Clippers were looking scared. Clippers, a lot of them guys out there was a lot of like, here, hot potato, you know, ball gets passed to them. The guy's just not, okay, I'm knocking this down. It's like, I don't want to take it. Here, you take it. Yeah, that got bad. So we get to game seven. And, you know, I thought.
Houston stomped on them from Jump Street.
You know, this is why you try to win, get home court advantage. We hadn't really seen MVP James Harden.
Oh, he showed up today.
Yeah, he came out today, handled business. It was just a whole team game, man.
Yeah, he did his thing.
Yeah, James Harden, 31 points, got 15 to 18 from the line.
That's ridiculous.
7 boards, 8 assists, 3 steals. You know, they had 7 turnovers. Both teams were sloppy early in the game.
Yeah.
It's like, God, I guess nobody really want to win it. But I hate watching games where there is a clear difference in the level of effort and intensity between one team and another. I mean, Houston was just everybody just playing.
This stat is incredible. If you take Jamal Crawford off that bench, bench scored 4 points. 4 points.
Yeah.
4 points.
And this was it
from
was an
your
issue.
Bench.
This was an issue.
That's ridiculous. Where them Austin River lovers? Who was just pumping him up like he is just the next big thing. I'm sorry. He is average at best. I've been saying it for years. That is what it is. He is, I mean, yeah, he got hot a couple games. People were loving it.
Yeah, and, I think that was what?
He came back down to earth.
I think that was game three. He went off.
Yeah, and stirred the pot.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great game. He had 25 points, and he was killing.
He was feeling himself.
And you were like, okay, maybe they starting to get some bench production.
Nope.
Austin Rivers, 15 minutes, 1 of 4, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover, 2 points.
Nothing. And then Baby Davis.
Plus minus of negative 17. Big Baby had 1 of 2, 2 points, 2 boards, 1 assist. Spencer Hall has played 2 minutes. He's just been a non-factor.
I don't know why he hasn't played.
I don't know why either. You know, Jamal, I mean, for let me just get the Rockets love. They're role players. We're going to talk about role players. Let's talk about role players who do something. Mm-hmm. Josh Smith, Kane, James Six, just he now we don't like seeing Josh Smith hit threes. That's not his game.
No.
But he hit a couple. Okay, he started getting in it. He had Corey Brewer in game 6. I mean, in this game.
Ariza was here.
Trevor Ariza, I tweeted out there, when he made that last three to seal it, I wanted him to be like, that's why they brought me here. Because everybody was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You got rid of Parsons, got Trevor Ariza.
I mean, got to give love to him. And this is why I picked them to win in 6.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought athletically they had the pieces to match up well with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Dwight and DeAndre Jordan, as far as I'm concerned, they cancel each other out.
Right.
They had the advantage on at the point guard. But, again, Houston athletically, you have the ability to put it on the reason on Chris Paul. You can put Corey Brewer on Chris Paul. You can mismatch and stuff to make up for the loss of Patrick Beverly. So, it did. I'm not going to lie. When Houston went was down 3-1, I was like, well, my prediction was wrong.
Yeah, because I had them in 7, but I did not think, you know, they looked the part when down 3-1. That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got back to back. And the Clippers were just – the Clippers looked like they learned a lot from that series versus the Spurs.
They did. They came out like it.
Mm-hmm. And then these last three games, it just
– they fell asleep at the wheel.
Didn't know how to close the game. God, they choked. Because I don't understand – I thought they would really miss Patrick Beverly, and I think they'll miss Patrick Beverly in the next series. They're going to miss Patrick Beverly, period, because all these point guard matchups are going to be a problem. But Jason Terry was effective, never really got – Chris Paul didn't dominate that matchup like he could have.
Nope.
You know, they just got – I mean, even Terrence Jones contributed, and they got a little bit from everything. Probably Prigioni today.
He was big. I mean, he only had 4 points, but still,
mm-hmm.
he had big moments.
Yeah, 4 steals.
That, he had one play in particular that where he got the offensive rebound and hit Trevor Ariza for that three. Yeah. I was like, nobody boxed him out. I'm like, no, that was pathetic effort.
He only had 4 points.
He had four assists,
3 steals. He had a three. He had a big three. I mean, just timely effort.
He had a plus minus of plus 20.
Yeah. Crazy. I mean, you could just feel
Come
it.
On.
And, you know, unfortunately, on the Clipper side, they got none of that.
I mean, minus Jamal Crawford, 4 points.
Yep.
4 points. He didn't play anybody.
Yeah, Jamal, it just. Now, granted, he's not going. He only going like
six, seven deep.
You know, you playing Glenn Davis, so you can give your bigs a rest. But nothing, man. I mean, Jordan Crawford. I mean, this Chris Paul was completely broken. I mean, game 6, losing the way they did, it probably took more out of them. Now, people have said, you know, they went through a 7-game series versus the Spurs where they tired. I'm like, what you gained in that series was knowledge of how to win championships, yep. What it's going to take. And when you had the opportunity, just like the Spurs did, of trying to close it out, you didn't. And it wasn't no fashion like the Spurs game where it was like, okay, the last play, you know, both teams neck and neck. The only difference was one team made an extra play.
Mm-hmm.
It came down to one basket or a play here and there. These last two games, they just got outplayed.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, yeah, Jordan Rivers, Austin Rivers, nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Jamal Crawford.
Brick City.
He, I thought, for this
one
team
assist.
To really do something, yeah, to really go far, he had to be their third scorer. And he was not at all.
Nah, he was off. He was off.
Missing every damn thing. This is a guy who can probably give you 30 easily.
Oh, yeah.
When he's hot.
Absolutely.
Got nothing. And now you got to deal with you know, DeAndre Jordan's a free agent.
Mm, is he gone?
I don't believe so. I've seen people talking. I mean, somebody on my my homie who was texting, he's over here talking mess about how Chris Paul mad that, you know, David Stern nixed that trade. I'm like,
look, leave it alone. Yeah. Leave that trade alone. I'm done with it.
Yeah, I don't want to hear the Laker fans being salty.
Stop.
You're like, oh, stop. If he had what, then what? He'd be in the same situation.
Stop.
How many rings would y'all have? Zero. How many times would y'all been to the finals?
I mean, my thing is, zero. Y'all were getting Chris Paul. You're trading Powell. You're trading Odom. So what the fuck? Yeah, I mean,
you were trading Dwight Howard, but clearly Dwight Howard didn't belong in L.A. And then Kobe got hurt. So what the fuck?
Thank you. So I'm tired of hearing about that trade. The trade was nixed. It's been years. Get over it, man.
It's the Lakers. You should just be able to pick anybody else you want.
Thank you. Enough said. But yeah, back to the Clippers, the more relevant L.A. team right now.
You know, this whole Hack-a-Shaq thing. Look, he was winning the matchup with Dwight Howard through them first four games. The last three games, Dwight Howard won the matchup.
I mean, it was an even match, basically.
Through the whole season. But when it mattered most, Dwight Howard came in and handled
business.
I got
to give it to Dwight. He stepped up.
Give him Dwight on that. I think he's coming back. They have a great – their big three – it's solid for the Clipper with Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. I like what I saw from Blake Griffin this season. And even in these playoffs, he really stepped his game up. He had, 27 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, a block. You know, 5 turnovers, not good.
They got to boost that bench,
13-23. He's really stepped his game up. Them three, I think, are keepers. And Doc Rivers said it. Their number one goal is to keep DeAndre Jordan, which it should be. He's going to command probably about 12, 13 million a year. You got to give it.
And, I mean,
you cannot lose an arguably, to me, was a defensive player of the year. You can't lose him.
Yeah.
It's just bad. But, yeah, that bench, I think Crawford's gone. I think, honestly, I think out of those big three, everybody is tradable. I expect Redick will probably be there because he is they need shooting. And when he was hot, he was hot. He, you know, he's one of them that went cold, really do much.
And apparently, Nate Robinson was hoping the Clippers lost because they didn't sign him.
Yeah, and he got his wish.
They could have used him.
They could have. They
I'm sorry, spark he could have used him over Austin Rivers. I'm just saying.
Yeah, oh, shit, nigga, just have him on the bench then. Did you want to play anybody else?
Turgaloo's done.
Yeah. Matt Barnes, I think, you know, he's had his thuggish moments there.
He's bench player. Enforcer. He needs to be a bench player, not starter.
Yeah, unfortunately. He's had more, but, you know, like he came up big in game 7 versus Spurs, but he ain't hitting no shots.
Nah.
And he hadn't been locking anybody down.
Nope.
Doc Rivers.
Got to relinquish some of that power, bro. You got to be strictly coach.
Yeah, I think it helped.
I don't like coach having them dual roles. I don't like that.
I think it worked last season with everything that went on with the Sterling situation. I mean, he was a great general manager for that and kind of really just took hold of the situation, so it wasn't a problem. Now you've got new ownership. You got a guy who's got money, who's clearly passionate. Clearly, when you watch him and his movements and dancing.
And his dances.
Yeah. This is the guy who wants to win. Man. He paid $2 billion, so he know he wants to see his team succeed.
I want a chip. Yeah.
So I would think getting into the luxury tax would not be a problem. Like I've always said, staying in it for like 4 or 5 years, that's a different thing. But as going into it, he will do it.
As much money as he's making.
I mean, yeah, so now I need Doc Rivers this season as GM specifically, but definitely as a head coach because – whatever they it has to be worked out. It has that same Oklahoma City feel. Here, Blake. Here, Chris Paul. Do something. That's it. It's like there's no – the ball moving not there. You know, if it's half court, they suck in. He's got to fix that as the coach. He's got to make them better offensively. But as the GM, specifically this season, you need to earn your money and add some pieces to this team.
Yep.
If it's some young pieces, athletic, fine. If it's some veteran guys who've won, clearly that helps. Do that. But you've got a good team. You're in a city and a market where people will want to come. You got to make some moves. Definitely.
Yeah.
But I had it in Rockets in seven. So at least I got that one right. I was but straight up after that 3-1, I was like,
yeah, I thought
done.
They were done.
So
yep.
Kudos to them. And they, you know,
kudos to me for picking them.
You know, and now we get to put. We're gonna have an MVP 1-2 finish battle.
Ooh, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, because Warriors handled the Grizzlies.
That wasn't fair.
No, they were down 2-1. Won the next three.
They were hurt, man.
Yeah,
it wasn't fair. You had no Tony Allen. That was it. Yeah. Mike Conley was banged up.
Mike Conley
was
banged up early.
It wasn't fair.
Had that solid. Was that game two where he went
off?
It
was a healthy Memphis Grizzlies that whole series. They'd have won that series. I truly believe that. But I got to give credit.
I want to believe so.
Got to give credit to Golden State. Yeah. They handled business.
Mm-hmm. Guys got hot.
Steph Curry went nuts.
Yeah.
He went bananas. He turned into MVP. Was like, I'm shutting this bitch down. Threes.
Yeah.
Raining them. Throw the dollars in the air. I'm just raining them. Let it rain, baby.
That was a team factor, man. I mean,
they weren't hitting at first. Nope. They weren't hitting. And notice when Tony Allen got hurt, they started hitting. I'm just saying.
Well, they won game four, and Tony Allen was there.
Made it easy.
But, I mean, they made it different stuff. Like, you put Steve Kerr put Andrew Bogut on Tony Allen.
Just
that
let
period.
Him shoot threes. God, he... I'm like, after you're not all going to Tony these Allen. Years, after all these years, he can't be a Bruce Bowen type. I'm like, after all these freaking years,
no.
You have not developed a jump shot at all. It's, no. As long
he's
as you
not
get,
in there for
you
all
know hands. That's the one piece of your game that could use some help, and you have not worked on that thing consistently. What is going on, bro?
Dude,
I know you all about D, but I mean,
look,
dude, they left him open
yeah,
like five times in a row, and he's just...
Clank,
clank, clank, and I'm just sitting here like, dude, they are really leaving all this space for you. Go ahead and shoot the damn ball because you're gonna miss anyway. Clank, clank. He's terrible. You on that Lance Stevenson 16%, dog? You garbage.
Yeah.
As far as offense, I mean, defense, he a beast. Offense, good God Almighty. Yeah,
some people, that's just not. That's not their strength. Clearly, DeAndre Jordan's
clearly.
Strength is not shooting 60%.
He better start working on him. He can come back. If he can come back next year and shoot 60% free throws, I'll be satisfied.
DeAndre Jordan?
Yes.
Yeah, get to 50 and then let's go up. But
God, I mean, Tony Allen, you got to be able to hit at least
20%
from three.
They've like, got enough dudes that should be able to shoot. You know, Courtney Lee.
But you're a liability then. Then you're a liability. Because you give nothing to it. Because on offense, we're playing 4-5.
Yeah, but if you got a guy who's there for offense, like I need you there to make shots.
Bruce Bowen was it's a prime example because he was a defensive player. But at the same time, on offense, you knew he was limited. But if you left him open in the corner for a three, he making it.
Well, it's like Cephalosian.
I'm just saying, like... But you got to be able to at least draw the offense out to contest a damn jump shot. At the point that they're just like, all right, I'm backing up because you're going to shoot.
I agree, but
we're playing 4-5 then.
But you have guys who can't play defense, but we're okay with that. Not a lot. Nick Young.
But at least on defense, if you put in some kind of effort, it makes a difference. Young ain't trying on defense. That's the difference. He's not trying, which is why Byron said he'll sit his monkey ass down if he don't shape up. Loving it. He's that. I mean, defense and rebounding. It's effort. Really?
Yes, and he's...
And Tony Allen gives hella effort on the defense.
Right. And he tries to get a jumper.
He needs to put some effort on that offense. At least just develop a corner 3-point shot. I'm not saying you got
to
go all around
Please,
the court.
To me, he just
but
needs
just
to,
a corner, in the corner.
He needs to get a 15-footer.
God, Jesus Christ, because he's terrible.
Yeah.
We're 4-5.
Yeah, and that was a problem. They weren't getting any shooting anybody.
Kudos to Steve Kerr for, or his assistants and that coaching staff for coming up with that strategy because it worked.
Yeah, and they got no help. I mean, you know, Zach Randolph, Gasol had a great series. You know, they tried. It just... This team struggles to score 100 points. And in this league, especially against this team, you have to be able to score 100 points. You have to do it every damn night, but you have to be able to like, all right, we can score 100 points and win. If the only way we're going to win is scoring 80, we ain't winning.
Yeah.
Because Golden State just, they can score 20 points in like a minute.
Yeah.
Them fools will be cold. All of a sudden, you look 2 minutes later, you're like, oh, shit, you was up you was up 12. Next thing you know, you up 3. And you like, what the fuck just happened? We were just up.
Steph Curry hit 3 threes in a row. Just coming up the court. Oh, whop! 3. Like, God, he's
so. But I do, yeah, I agree that the injuries to Conley and Allen that really played a
major
it.
Difference.
I think it would have been a lot closer. I ain't gonna say they was gonna win.
I believe healthy, fully healthy, Memphis would have won this series. I truly believe that.
Their problem, if they were healthy and everything played out like it did, then the reason they would have lost is because they couldn't get any shooting. Yes. And I've seen it on Twitter talk, and you know, it is a problem. Jeff Green that was not enough.
Yeah.
He was going to have to be, to me, pre major injury Jeff Green, who's giving you like close to 20 points, 7 boards, couple of assists. I mean, just really show something, because this team is going to go small. Mm-hmm. And he needs to take advantage. And yeah, he was quiet too often. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your big man. You got your solid point guard in Conley, who played.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he had that one game where he just took the hell over. You know, but they put Klay Thompson on him. And that kind of slowed him down a little bit. But Jeff Green could have done and needed to do a lot more. And he didn't. Courtney Lee, quiet. They're going to have to go in the offseason and get
and build
some
another
shooting.
Bench. They're yeah. another team that has to build that bench a little mm-hmm. bit more. They're too reliant on Jeff Green off their bench. He had Udrick, but
which was solid. You know, Vince Carter was okay, but that's not something enough. Just happened. They didn't come through when they needed to.
And they needed a little bit more youth and athleticism off their bench.
Mm-hmm.
And some damn shooters, some just strictly like guys who can shoot.
Oh, yeah, just guys who, like, your job is to shoot threes. Shoot threes, yep. And get us buckets, because, yep. Yeah, that has been a problem for them.
Great defenders.
Yeah. They've got to do something to just get easy buckets.
Is Gasol coming back?
This is a year for my team. I'm just like, yeah, all the bigs, come here. We can get one of them, too. We can get Aldridge. We can get Gasol on back.
Sources said he's going to look at San Antonio. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Everybody need to look. Yeah, come look. But I
think both of them are going back personally.
I thought that.
I believe that.
I can't put it in the air because I need them to come over to San Antonio. But before that, all them sources and lead, I actually thought both of them were going back to their team. I like Memphis.
I would hate to lose Noah, but I sure would love to see Marc Gasol play next to his brother. Mm. That would be nice to see in some Bulls colors.
Yeah. I like Memphis. I think Memphis if Memphis can add some consistent outside shooting,
yes,
that is their biggest problem. Mm-hmm. And you're not, it's going to be hard finding somebody like that front, like Z-Bo in that grindhouse. Oof. But here we go, man. Warriors, Rockets. Mm. We got MVP winner Steph Curry with the MVP runner up James Harden. This should be interesting. What you think? What's your thoughts on this?
I got Houston at 7.
Mm.
I truly believe, and this is not bullshit, I truly believe it. I think Houston is similar to the Grizzlies with better shooting. Defensively, they're not the same, but I mean, you got the big body in the middle. They got guys with length, athleticism, who can defend mm-hmm. on the wing. So shooting wise, I think that's where it's going to come down to. I think they can match Golden State
mm-hmm.
When it comes to being able to spread the floor and shoot the ball. As far as the mismatches and things of that nature, I don't think you're going to be able to see, you know, Golden State's not going to be able to do the same thing. You know, kind of like I said with Memphis, how they were kind of playing 4-on-5 on offense. They can't leave anybody open on Houston.
No.
The guys are hitting threes. Klay Thompson's going to have his hands full with James Harden. Bogut and Howard, I don't know how that matchup's going to turn out. It's going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. It won't be easy for Dwight.
I see Corey Brewer. I see Trevor Ariza taking turns guarding Steph Curry.
Okay.
To slow him down.
Okay.
And
he's going to kill Terry. He's going to kill Jason Terry.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you weren't able to, I truly believe,
I mean, James Harden didn't have a great last series, but I think it, and I don't know, people have said this, but I don't know if it's true or not, but maybe it is. Maybe the MVP, him not winning, kind of weighed on him a little bit, you know, bothered him somewhat.
Can use it as motivation now.
I mean, at this point, you're going up against the MVP. Mm-hmm. I think he's truly at this point, you're going to see MVP James Harden. He's going to put the team on his back like he did. And it's going to be a grind. That's why I said it's going to seven, but I think Houston's going to pull it out in seven.
Yeah, see, for me, I had the Warriors. I think the Warriors are going to pull this out in seven. With the way that series played out, I'm like, neither one. And maybe it's just because I feel like if fucking one or two shots went, we would be in the conference finals playing. I think having a guy you can put, I think they're going to put Klay Thompson on Harden. I think they're going to put Harrison Barnes on Harden. I think they're going to put Iguodala on Harden. They've got enough guys with length to bother him. For Steph, I mean, this is going to be big because you're going to have a you're going to have to put up some points. I mean, both of these teams, the way they played through the first two rounds, have got to play better.
Absolutely.
To beat either one of them. Because Golden State hasn't looked all that great. They, you know, both of these teams got hot toward them last few games. You know, but there's going to need to be more. I think Bogut can bother Howard enough. And he seems to be the type of guy that probably would get under Howard's skin a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, but I am curious to see that matchup of Draymond Green versus Josh Smith. Mm. I think that four matchup is going to be very key because neither one of them is they're not real dominant at that position, but I think they'll be matched up against each other a lot. Both defensive guys, both can spread the floor. Draymond Green's a little bit bigger, but I like that as well. I just think Golden State plays a little bit better defense. And I think they'll have enough to pull it out, but I think it's going to take seven games. And I think Houston is going to be confident. Between the two coaches, the way it's been going down, I'd probably lean more to Kerr for adjustment's sake.
I wonder, is this the first time you've had two championship players as coaches coaching against each other in the Western Conference Finals? I know I'm digging for stats right now, folks. This is the first time. The first time you've had former NBA champions coaching against each other in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah. Teams that go up 3-1 going into game five have won
75%.
like
99.9% of the time.
Yeah. You hear that 0.1%. But yeah, I think I like I think it's going seven.
Oh yeah. I think this is going to the wire.
I think it's gonna be tight and I think Warriors are gonna pull it out.
I just can't wait for it to start. Man.
I can't either.
Oh, my gosh. You know what, though? You know what I do like? And I will say this. I'm very happy to see different teams in the Western Conference.
No, I actually am.
I'm not, you know, no offense, Spirit. You know, sometimes you get tired of seeing the same OKCs and the Lakers and the Celtics. And no offense, sometimes in the Bulls
and the Spurs
mm-hmm. and Dallas and Miami. You get tired of seeing the same freaking teams all the time. It's kind of nice to have four different teams, you know, minus Houston, it's been since the fucking 90s.
Well, to me, it's you have four different guys. Well, three.
Because of LeBron.
You don't
count Cleveland.
I don't count Cleveland as a different team because I'm like, you got the nigga who been there four straight years. Ain't no difference.
Yes, well, three different teams. Yeah. I'm just glad to see different teams.
Yeah,
you know, fighting for the title.
And teams that makes won it nice in a while.
Yeah.
So
no, or never, or never at all.
Yeah, some never at all.
So
listening to the Brothers Lane Sports Happy Hour with my daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers!
We know Jonathan loves that.
All right, y'all. So we're moving on to the East. You know that sound.
Fucking God. Please forgive me for the language that is going to be used in this segment because it's going to be some use.
Yeah. Damn it. We both had Chicago. They were going in. No Kevin Love. J.R. Smith out for the first two games.
Kyrie Irving banged up.
Yeah. And I mean, hey, there was some close games, man. That Derrick Rose game winner.
Yeah.
You had LeBron James from the corner game winner.
That game, that was the game the Bulls fucked up because they should have stolen that game. They should have won that game.
Yeah, should have went up.
Went up, been up 3-1, and we probably would have ended up closing out the fucking series. But no, man. They turned into the fucking Bulls of old who can't hit shit. I mean, I literally, these motherfuckers couldn't hit anything. Nothing.
Nope.
They couldn't hit a car with a baseball bat if the shit was parked in front of their face. It was pitiful. I'm like, what? What? Missing layups, jump shots. It just, and then defensively, look, Jimmy Butler, credit in the world to him. Mm-hmm. He went up against LeBron basically one-on-one most of the time and put up a damn good fight. But fuck me, man. I mean, it was, oh my God, it was one of the saddest showings in game six that I have ever seen in my life. The Bulls quit. Q-U-I-T, all in caps, motherfucker. He quit. As in, I quit my job. That's basically what they did. They packed it in and went on vacation. They went fishing. I could not believe what I saw. That is the first time ever I have seen them give no effort under Tom Thibodeau. They gave effort in the first quarter and came out guns blazing. And then next thing you know, Cleveland closed the gap. And it was like, all right, we're done. We're not going to play hard anymore. I mean, lackadaisical effort on both ends of the floor. I'm sitting here like, these fools really, they quit. Derrick Rose looked like he didn't want to come back in the game. Jimmy Butler looked like he was tired of guarding LeBron. Like, I'm tired of this shit. Somebody else, please, guard him. Because he just looked disinterested. I don't know if they were tuning Tibbs out. Just kind of knew he was done.
No, it was bad.
I don't know, but it was pathetic. One of the worst, saddest showings I've ever. They all should be ashamed of themselves for the effort they put out in an elimination game. This is to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Are you kidding me? This is the same BS they showed in the first round against Milwaukee. Getting complacent and lackadaisical and playing like shit. Piss me off. Oh my God, I am furious. Furious with the Bulls.
What the fuck are we doing out here? I ask you, what in the fuck are we doing here?
Preach, brother, because I don't know what the fuck we are doing out here. This is insane. Pathetic showing effort on both sides of the floor. It was pitiful. Derrick Rose, yes, he showed flashes, but a lot of the times he was very inefficient, chucking up threes nonstop. I mean, fucking God, it was just, it was embarrassing. Yeah, the way it ended was so embarrassing. I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah, because game five, you got damn real big. And you and I were even like, oh, well, it looks like it's done. And we came back. And I could turn on the TV from work, and it was like 2 minutes left. They down six. I'm like, oh, shit, they fought back. But.
And I told Chris, once they lost game five, I told Chris. I was like, that's it. I was like, done. He was like, you don't think your team? Nope, because they got to win two straight, and they ain't proven they can do that.
Yeah, you actually was like, they probably going to lose.
I was like, if they win game six, they lose in game seven in Cleveland. It doesn't even fucking matter. I was after game five, I was done. I was like, that's the game they should have won game four.
Should have.
They should have won game four.
You can't, in the playoffs, blowing. Every team has gone through it. My team has gone through it, too. When you have a game in hand, that looks like it's going in your favor, and you blow it, more often than not, it's going to come back to bite you in the ass.
Man, it's just – got to look forward to next year. New coach, more than likely. It's not set in stone, but, I mean, every source has said he's basically gone, and I think at this point he's gone, especially with the effort they show in Game 6 and elimination game, I think Tibbs is done.
Yeah, I think this playoff was telling –
just offensively, he has not changed anything.
No, it was still heavy Derrick Rose.
It's like, come on, you know? Especially and with Jimmy Butler, the way he's developed. I'm like, come on, bro.
I think he said, I heard somewhere where they were talking about Mirotic was like top three in like fourth quarter scoring, and series started, he was like, nigga played 2 minutes, and he was like, oh, he a situational player. I'm like, this nigga is like huge for you. Are you seriously like? And it almost like if Pau Gasol never got hurt, he might not have seen one run.
Nope.
And he was big in that. What was that, game three win?
I just I don't get Tibbs sometimes. And I think they, from what I've heard, that was a lot of the issue with he and management. Management wanted him to hire an offensive guy to help him with the offense. And he was like, no, I'm doing it myself. And this is what it gets you.
Riding guys. And this is like, God
damn it. So
yeah, I mean, he seemed like he on one hand, he seems to get, at least before this season, out of
guys, yeah. But he runs them into the fucking ground. I mean, I heard his practices are grueling.
He's very, okay. I guess, semi-thing reminiscent of Scott Skiles. Where you got guys who come in, and these coaches have like a nice 3-4 year window before guys are like, all right.
We're tired of it. So.
Yeah, it did feel like in game six that they was just like, we know he's gone. Yep. We trying. We don't. Tad effort, this message is just not getting to us anymore. I heard, some of the exit interviews with Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol came out and was like, in a sense, he was glad he came. People were like, are you mad he came? He's like, no. He sees the talent they have. He's just like, they need to take things a little bit more serious. I was really like, wow. He was like, I don't think we took seriously enough games in the regular season. Just make it seem like there was no, let's try to get as high as we can get, and just kind of like, okay, we'll just be okay in the playoffs. I'm like, he's basically saying, look, you want to fight for the number one seed. You need to fight like you really want it.
And I think part of that goes to Tibbs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to, I don't know. Man. Yeah. Just goddamn.
I will say, but, I like what I see with the Bulls. I was really happy to see Derrick Rose get, I was happy to see him finish a playoff series.
Yes.
And, Show some great flashes.
In relatively good health.
He was he played pretty good. Could he play better?
Absolutely. Yes.
I think he got too ball heavy. I know there's going to be that whole question of him making players better. He's not a guy who wants to go out and recruit.
Yeah.
I know a lot of that's going to carry.
He believes in the guys that are on his team.
Right.
That's just what it is.
Which some people can argue, like, well, just if you think a guy can help your team, why don't you just be like, hey, man, we could use you, whatever. But, Jimmy Butler, most improved.
He's getting max.
Yeah.
And he's getting resigned. Everybody out there who is like, oh, we Jimmy Butler, we can get in. No, you can't. He's going back to Chicago. They have already, I've read my articles. Even if they give him the max, they'll be right under the luxury tax. He's getting max dollars. He will be back in Chicago. He said he wants to stay. He ain't going nowhere.
No.
Done. It will be Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler for a while.
Yeah. I like the backcourt situation.
They feed you. They complement each other very well.
Yep. Addition of Gasol was great. I do think I do think that injury to him played a big part, because for that team – he was a real focal point, and he got the rock, and a lot of offense ran through him.
And then in game six, when we couldn't score, he wasn't getting no run. And it's like, you brought him here for a post presence because we couldn't score in the post. Mm-hmm. And clearly, Noah couldn't score in the post because he was god-awful.
Joakim and Noah
kind of shit. And he was just, I don't know if Tibbs gave him the green light. But he was just taking wild shots, and I'm sitting here like, what are you doing? So Gasol can't play that many minutes going into next season, though.
How much was he playing?
He led the league in double doubles, but he was playing in like
the mid to high
30s. He was playing a lot.
Yeah.
Like during regular season, he can't play that many damn minutes per game. Miritich was big.
Yeah,
that was a nice addition.
I think Miritich will be even better going into next season.
Dunleavy is a free agent, which is huge.
Yeah, he was very critical.
He was very big for us, yeah.
I know you guys have your boy.
Got Dougie Mack.
Yeah, he should get some run next year.
Tony Snell look good.
Yeah, I think if they keep this team together, granted, I guess part of it could have been Tibbs and then they're wearing off, but they really dipped defensively, weren't that kind of team.
Yeah.
But offensively, they were better. They're close.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was the year to do it. Maybe this is going to sting them for a bit, really motivate them.
I hope.
Hoping they can get the right coach in here to push the right buttons. But they're close. They're going to be up there next season. Bulls fans, I wouldn't be – well, want to see how it plays out and who they get.
Yeah.
But as a team, you should like where your team is, and they almost there.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I'm not going to be too bitter. Congratulations, Cleveland.
Yeah.
They beat us. Go ahead and crown the motherfuckers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
They going to the chip. They winning already. There it is. Cavs going to the finals. They're going to win it all. LeBron James, MVP, finals MVP.
Yeah, they won despite being hurt.
I got to give it to him. LeBron carried that damn team on his back. Yeah. He played like the best player in the world.
And not all the time with his scoring. Just really setting the tone. Guys, I mean, Della Dova came out to play, had a huge game six. I mean, J.R. Smith.
Pissed me. Thorn in the hip. God, I wish he got suspended for the whole series. Oh, he was a thorn in the hip. He just kept hitting three after three in the most inopportune times that we just did not need them.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys have had, you know, playoff. I mean, J.R. Smith has had some playoff experience with New York and Denver. Iman Shumpert had the 1 year.
Did you see the J.R. Smith tweet?
No, what did he say?
With him and Iman Shumpert basically just looking devastated on the Knicks bench. Like, one man's trash is another man's treasure, and it shows him in a Cleveland uniform looking all happy and shit. It's like, damn.
Hey, man.
Come on, man. Don't shoot fire. Those shots fired at Phil.
Who's that GM? David Griffin?
Yep.
I mean, look. Another, you know, granted, it seemed like, oh, he was just
Actually, I take that back. The GM's LeBron James.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is. Yeah. Coach, GM.
Owner.
Yep.
The governor.
President of basketball operations.
Yeah, mayor and the whole thing. He's everything. You
know, gives us popcorn and all
that. Exactly, because he works at concession. He does it all, man. Valet and the whole nine. You
know, that was a... I don't remember what they gave up to get...
Nothing. Garbage. Like a first, like a pick. 2 second round pick. Some nonsense. Yeah. Phil Jackson is fucking up.
Because Shumpert played very well when J.R. Smith was hurt.
Why didn't they play this well in New York?
There's New York. There's New York.
There's nothing else to do in Cleveland but play.
You
know what
I mean, Greg? You have the best player in the game.
Yeah.
Who's been there, done that, instills confidence. Guys like playing with this dude.
Yeah, they do.
And he just makes it easier for him. I mean, like, got to give a shout out. MVP of this series,
Tristan Thompson.
Who's comparing him to Dennis Rodman all season?
Another thorn in the fucking hip.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like maybe it was smart for him to, not take the money.
Is he getting max dollars?
No. No way. No. Because I'm like, look, because I'll be straight up like.
Give him the max.
Where was this?
Getting the max.
Like, oh, so this finally came out once. Basically, it was no pressure. You became a role player.
Yes.
He was supposed to be the number two guy.
Yes.
Then he became a role player.
Correct.
You know, you got Mozgov.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great pickup. He played, had a great game. Mm-hmm. Six as well. You know, you had. Barajot for a minute. You had Kevin Love. I mean, it wasn't no pressure on him.
Got Kendrick Perkins.
All they needed you to do was board. And this dude, he boarded. I mean, he was giving that effort that you've seen, like, how the Bulls used to do.
And even though.
Offensive rebound machine.
He made some blunders. Mm-hmm. You got to give credit to David Blatt. I mean, the man, the rookie head coach.
Dealing he got lucky.
Dealing with the best player in bullshit. Dealing with the best player in the league. Bulls should have won that game. I'm going to say it again. We all know who the league wants to be in the finals, so it's no shock that they didn't call that fucking timeout that didn't exist. God, that's bullshit. But
I will.
It was
enough plays where it's not all on the refs. But I will say,
Bulls got
there
hosed.
Were a lot of calls
questionable
in that series that really went their way. Mm-hmm. That Todd Gibson kick out.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
The fact that I'm speaking for you, since that's your team, I know you're not going to say, but I'll say it. They looked at the play. It's clearly obvious that he's locking legs and he's just like trying to kick out of it. And Delvedova got nothing. No punishment.
I'm just saying. Yeah. David Blatt's over here calling timeouts. Should have been a technical. Oh,
no. We didn't see it.
No, we didn't see it. Oh, okay. The world saw it, but y'all didn't see it. Okay. Yeah. It's all good, though. It's all good. I'm not going to be that dude. I'm not going to be that guy. So, congrats to David Blatt. He is a rookie head coach who has never coached in the NBA. He got the best player in the world on him. He got pressure galore on his shoulders. He got him to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, can you fire him after this season?
No.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear.
You just signed him. You just signed
him. I'm just saying, because you got people who are already like, why have him here anyway? Because he almost cost him a game.
Yeah.
He called a play that J.R. Smith called fucking stupid, and LeBron basically was like, nah, nigga, look, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I mean,
on one hand, I'm like, I get, as the lead dog on the team.
As the president of the United States.
Yeah.
I can do what I want.
Yeah. As the guy, you can be like, you have the right, whether you him, Jordan, Duncan, Steph, anybody, James Harden.
You can veto the coach.
You have the right. In that situation,
yes,
they were tied.
Now, I get it. He was supposed to take the ball out, which, again, I didn't get. That didn't make sense to me. Yeah. And I'm rooting against the niggas, so that didn't make sense to me. I was like, let him take it out.
Yeah. Because there's a chance he may not get it back.
Exactly. That's like, let him take the ball out. But, you know, of course.
And he said, no, just give me the rock. It's going to fall on me. And he, okay. And granted, he made the shot.
He made that fucking shot.
Yeah, because if he misses the shot, oh, we going in overtime.
He's not clutch.
Yeah.
But he made it. You know, he made it. He made it.
He's made the most clutch shots since Michael Jordan. Like, okay.
What, three? Was it like three shots or something?
He's
like
had 10 shots within 2 seconds or less at the end of games, and he is six out of okay.
Okay, like, and he's been in the league for 12 years. Like, I mean, I don't care about three shots.
He played in the shitty East.
Thank you.
Shitty East.
But, I mean, congrats to Cleveland. They pulled it out. They won. Kyrie Irving, he's questionable.
Yeah.
Going into game one, that's going to hurt. Yeah. That's going to hurt, especially against, you know, Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
Well, let's speak on it, man. Whoo, that was a great. That was a series, man.
I love that. That series was awesome. Awesome. Of course, the NBA is pissed. Like, damn, I wanted Paul Pierce in there.
That'd have been
nice. He would have been dropping some. We whooping Cleveland's ass.
Yeah, because you wanted to see John Wall versus Kyrie Irving, a nice little young team.
I mean, when John Wall got hurt, though, that hurt him.
Yeah.
That really hurt.
They might have actually pulled it out. Yeah. I mean, we don't know, but that might have pulled it out. But, hey, people keep doubting Atlanta.
No, I'm not anymore.
Yeah, I thought Washington had enough. It was going to be seven.
I had Atlanta winning in six. So I was right.
Ooh,
on
all them games.
I was right on the ball on that one.
But you know, continued great play all around.
Yeah.
That 4-5, Horford and Millsap, man, that rebound in game five. You know, and Horford has made big plays in the playoffs for the Hawks. A couple years he's been hurt, which is why you felt like, well, if they had Horford, maybe it would change. And you see why. He took the damn rebound from the
He's the engine that makes them go.
Yeah.
He truly is. He's the engine that carries that team. And I mean, I gotta give credit to Mike Budenholzer, man. The way he keeps those guys focused on the task at hand. I mean, you got Schroeder coming off the bench, DeMar Carroll. I mean, you know, Kent Bazemore. I mean, you got guys who like, who the hell?
Yeah, he was giving Schroeder mad run.
And I ain't mad at him because that fool out of Germany, beast. If he be starting on a lot of teams in this league.
Because game five, I was like, where the hell is Jeff Teague at? And I was like, why is Schroeder getting mad? But you know, I saw that Jeff Teague was struggling, had seven turnovers in that game.
He's one of the few in the league that, at least as a bench player, he can match John Wall's speed because he's that quick. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if that was part of his thinking.
Yeah, and I mean, this is how role players come up for you. Give them time. You give them minutes. You give them the trust factor.
We say they win the games for you. Mm-hmm. We say role players win the chips.
Hey, I have to give love to DeMar Carroll. DeMar Carroll has been impressive.
Absolutely.
In these playoffs. He had a stretch where he was just all of a sudden it was like, all right, I'm going for 15, 20 points every game.
Yep. He's just been solid, man. Yeah. Just been solid. Kyle Korver's had his moments. He didn't play well in some games, but he's always a threat. And I think that's big for them
because
you have to guard him because if he's open, it's wet.
Yeah, he's making it. But they stretching the floor. I like when Jeff T continues to impress, continues to make plays, and they executed. I mean, because that game six, they had a nice lead, and it was like, oh, shit, they blowing a lead. And I got a chance to watch a little bit of the replay when it came on the other day. And it was like all of a sudden Wizards was coming back, take the lead, go up by one, and do shit.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we got the lead. Missed everything. And all of a sudden, you're seeing DeMar Carroll making these back cuts, getting easy buckets. And that's what it came. It just came down to them plays. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Atlanta, they keep proving people wrong, keep shutting up the doubters. Yeah. And much love to the real Hawks fans who was out there. Because, well, for many years, Phillips Arena was a laughingstock. Would never come up. It'd be looking empty, dead. It was loud as hell.
I can attest to that.
They had it packed.
They did.
So shout out to y'all, Atlanta, y'all true Atlanta Hawks fans who've been there supporting your team. Thank you for going out supporting. And, you know, y'all, I like them, man.
Yeah.
We'll discuss them in a second. Their chances in these finals, conference finals.
With Washington.
First off, man, fucking the truth.
If this is how he's going out.
Yeah, I hope not. But if this
I ain't mad at him, man.
No.
I am not mad at him.
I'm not either.
To go out with like 0.1 on the clock, balls in your hands, you release it, goes in, you think it's good. Crowd's going nuts. You're celebrating with your team. And then all of a sudden, waved off. You're like, what the?
That was major, man.
Oh, man.
Because that shot went in. It was like, oh, they're going into overtime. And it's like, and it, that's because it was at home.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is going nuts. They're like, yeah. Wait, what?
And it's like, we this is the series clincher too. It's not even like we're going to a game seven.
Yeah.
Atlanta wins a series. Like
it was like, oh, now we down 3-2. It was like, oh, it was too late. Series over, y'all lost. It's like, God damn.
Yeah, they show people tweeted out a picture of Bradley Beal kind of tearing up, walking through the hall. I mean, that's gotta be a tough loss, man. I mean
losing like that. And I mean, honestly, losing the last two games.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce didn't hit all these damn shots. He hit that shot, was talking mad shit. in the house, talking, you know, especially on the road, killing them, loving it. And all of a sudden, Al Horford come on, gets the rebound from Nene, scores.
It. Oof.
And that you was lost. Nasty. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yep.
And then this one, yeah, this.
That one.
I felt bad.
I really did feel bad for the Wizards. I was like, that is such a heartbreaker.
I was like, that's fans.
Because I saw the replay and I was like, yeah. That was in the hands.
Yeah.
Ball was in his hands.
I
was like, God.
He was like 0.2 of a second earlier. But shout out to Korver for jumping, making him take one extra step.
Mm-hmm.
Made the difference.
I thought it was a travel at first. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell? He took a long ass step.
Mm-hmm.
But he got the shot off, and that sucker was good.
Look,
was
I just want to say, you got a player option. Please come back, Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Because, you know, granted, he doesn't need that many minutes during the season. During the playoffs, he's money time. They went to him a lot. You see why they went to him a lot. They brought him here for fourth quarter scoring in the playoffs. That's what you don't need to do nothing else.
Yep.
All season, come to playoffs, fourth quarter, where you at?
Yep.
Because you're going to get the ball.
Absolutely.
But I like this young team. Hey, Otto Porter stepped up these playoffs. You know, they played him a lot, gave him a lot of minutes. I'm curious to see how he's going to do the next step.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, you know, we were like, where are these high picks?
Yes.
Young dudes, where you at? And, you know, he's shown some stuff. Bradley Beal continues to grow.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be an all-star again.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. John Wall, I know he was hurt, but he had himself a 24-17 game at one point. You know, he brought
tried.
Him back.
Yeah, he tried.
He was making
he
some
tried
great
to
plays.
Play through it.
And he, you know, they're going to be nice. And then they struck. I don't know what they're going to do with the front court. Because sometimes they get enough, sometimes they don't.
We getting Kevin Durant.
In 2 years, better hope.
Oh,
but,
man.
No, I like what I'm seeing from Washington. You know, I was hoping. I like either team.
Should
I wasn't mad at either team.
Do you think they should let go of Randy Whitman? Because remember, going into the playoffs,
yes.
There were questions.
Yes.
Like, he got to do something.
If you do not, unless there's a clearly better option that you can get, no.
I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, That second half of the season was bad.
Yeah. It
but, I mean, terrible. The way they handled Toronto, I mean, they were in every game.
Absolutely.
Pretty much in the series. It's just, you know, late game execution was bad.
Yeah.
You know, but I would give him another year. If he has another year on his contract, yeah, if his contract's over, that's a different story. I'm not sure. But if he still has a year or two left, you know, they fought. They fought for him. He made some right moves. Playing Otto Porter was major.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Gooden was getting time. You know, Ramon Sessions yep. was effective.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say just continue to bring this team back. Hopefully Pierce comes back. Maybe they're ready to, you know, take another step, get to that conference final. Because they knocking.
Yeah,
they're knocking on the door.
Mm-hmm.
They're knocking on the door.
Absolutely.
All right. So then we got the 1-2 matchup as well. You know, with Atlanta, who has home court.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll now see King James.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, let's be honest, do you have Atlanta pulling the upset? Because I know nobody's going to pick against King James. Nobody's picking against LeBron James. Right now, LeBron James is the favorite to go to the Cavs. Not just LeBron James, but mm-hmm. the Cavs are favorite to go to the finals. Who you have winning this?
Atlanta in 7.
I agree.
I just I'm trying not to be biased. Atlanta's like my second home. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying not to be biased about this, but I think similar to Chicago, Atlanta has, you know, a guy in DeMar Carroll they can throw at LeBron James, a guy who can guard mm-hmm. him 1-on-1.
Them Cephalo should have been in this
and
series.
And they'll mix him with Paul Millsap as well. Atlanta has, I hate to say it, they seem to be a little bit better at executing
mm-hmm.
And finding ways to score better than Chicago did.
Yeah.
They have a serious 3-point threat that Cleveland's going to have to account for in Kyle mm-hmm. Korver. Point guard wise, it's going to be an interesting matchup with Jeff Teague and Kyrie Irving if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm. He's going to play in the series. He may not play game one, but he's going to play.
I mean, the key for them is really going to be can they stop Al Horford? Because he's going to bring Mozgov out because
mm-hmm.
he can shoot that little mid-range jump shot. He can hit threes now. And like, Jesus Christ, okay. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And then you got Dennis Schroeder off the bench. I don't know if Cleveland is going to have enough off their bench to contain, to maintain with Atlanta. Not sure. Mm-hmm. They have leaned on LeBron a lot, whereas Atlanta plays as a team. So you really have to account for everyone. So it's going to be hard for, you know, Cleveland to pinpoint one person to really focus on. They're going to have to focus on the whole group. Everybody can be a factor. So they're going to make it tough for them. The fact that they have home court advantage. And the fact that honestly, nobody's giving them a shot.
No,
I think Atlanta is really going to use all that as motivation the way they have been throughout the whole season. And I think they're going to pull it out in 7. I think they're going to beat Cleveland in 7 games.
Yeah, I think so, too. I do think the home court will be an advantage to them. I think that will give them at least one victory
mm-hmm.
just having a home. And it may come down to being at home in game 7. I think that front court is going to be a problem because they both can score.
And rebound.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. not as if, you know, Noah is not going to do anything or with Boston. They don't have it. Like, you have dual threats. Who can score from multiple places?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is going to be an issue, and they may miss Kevin Love a little bit more in this one. I don't see, I didn't see it with the Bulls either, but I don't see Tristan Thompson outworking their whole front court. I don't see that happening.
Not like that.
These guys play with a lot of effort, but for them to win, they are going to have to execute and execute better
because
mm-hmm. they had a lot of leads in that series and kind of got a little sloppy. Turning the ball over a lot that let Washington back in. But I think that team mentality is just going to overtake what I believe. LeBron James will put up his numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I expect Kyrie to have at least one game where he goes nuts. But I know this is a different situation. I just think the other guys are going to step a little more for Atlanta. I think it's going to be close. It'll be exciting. But I think the league will be disappointed in who goes to the finals. And I don't care.
Because
I like to see some new blood, as everybody likes to say it.
I do, too. I would love to see Atlanta go to the finals. That'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. But of course, nobody else gonna watch. This is boring.
Yeah, so we got Washington. Hey, I mean, to me, yeah, you had the two best teams in the league going to the finals.
Yeah.
What else are you going to ask for?
Exactly.
You know, two teams. Now we have Star A and Star B.
Now, I got Houston playing Atlanta.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got Houston and Atlanta. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we both got Atlanta, but
Houston, Atlanta, Vegas. Oh, man.
No, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one.
Absolutely. I am loving these past few series were good. I will say this round was better than the first, in my opinion.
Yeah, you had a lot more close games. I think the first round, I mean, it was like the Spurs, Clippers, and then everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
This one,
you kind of had a little really bit of great. Everything, yeah, mm-hmm. in every series.
Nice little mix up. So I think the conference finals will be even better.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back, get into a little more NBA talk. Getting around the sports world and get into our awards. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. Holla! All right, y'all, we're back. Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Yep.
Y'all heard our picks for the East and the West, recapping them. Who y'all got going to the big dance? Who's going?
Are y'all
going with Adam Silver's favorite, Golden State, Cleveland? Everybody picking? Or y'all going to be y'all going against the grain? Let us know, man. BrothersLayman@gmail.com. On Twitter, @BrothersLayman. On the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, go ahead and let me know how crazy you think I am for picking the two outliers, Houston, Atlanta, Vegas. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a little different.
I'm riding the Drake train. All
right. So some news that's going on through the NBA. First off, we got to say sorry to Monty Williams, who got fired from the Pelicans after five seasons.
Sorry coming. Yeah. I talked to Spirit. I was like, you can't complain about the decibel level in the series. I mean, you just can't, honestly. And when he was like, I'm serious, I'm like, okay. Now you're taking a little too far. The crowd you, too loud. Like,
you could joke about it because it's been loud all season.
But when you're like, I'm serious, okay, now you sound like a little bitch. Secondly, once he lost that, 20-point lead in that fourth quarter?
Game three was the dagger.
That was it.
That was it.
Once he lost that and they got swept, That was it.
Yeah, they were rumbling all season that this might be it for him and possibly Dale Demps as the GM. But he got him in the playoffs. Now, granted, you can if you want to say that the Spurs did him a favor instead of doing ourselves a favor, but letting him get in.
Should they have consulted Anthony Davis before the fact? Since everybody's like, oh, they told him after he let him go.
I saw that with the Dale Demps. It was like, did y'all talk to him? How is this going to affect Anthony Davis signing a contract extension with you? Yeah. Like,
and that's where it's hard to draw the line where it's like you don't want to have it where it's like, yeah, you like the person, but do you keep him just because he gets along with Anthony Davis, or do you move on to bring in somebody who might be a better fit for overall for the team in general?
Like, so yeah, I mean, granted, they moved, got some talent. Mm-hmm. It just hadn't been enough.
They need more depth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Eric Gordon had a nice playoff, but he'd been hurt.
He was surprisingly healthy tail end of the back end of the season.
Tyreke Evans was solid out this season.
And he got hurt.
I mean, they got injuries galore. Mm-hmm. You know, Jrue Holiday.
They got hurt, yep.
So they gave him time, but, you know, at some point, maybe it wasn't enough, and it's always easy to replace the coach.
Yeah.
I think he should find another landing spot. I believe he'll get another opportunity to be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could be assistant again at some place, but he's going to get another head coaching gig.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I was like, oh, I saw that coming. And hey, this shoe has fallen, so I don't know if the Dale Demps shoe was next. But, you know, Pelicans are close. They see the budding star they got.
Mm-hmm.
We know they want to keep Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. It's just time to. Maybe it's time for a change.
Absolutely.
And then you got coming up Tuesday.
On NBA a Tuesday.
Draft lottery. Yep.
It's a girl in Glossy Tuesday.
A lot of teams looking to see who's going to get Anthony Towns or Jahlil Okafor.
Okafor.
Should be the number one pick.
He's the best player in the draft. Bar none. And I don't care what anybody says. Period. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He was off some pro basketball
ProBasketballTalk.com or something.
Maybe that's what it was. Oh, yeah, Steve Kyler.
Oh, yeah, yeah, from Basketball
Insiders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to him about Okafor. I was like, I'm sick of this whole potential shit. Because when I tweeted him, I was like, I just get confused on guys who get picked high without producing. I feel Joe Okafor was the best player in the draft. And he basically said the draft is about buying a tool set. Teams tend to risk on high upside because there's another draft next year. And I'm like, I get that. But I'm like, it baffles me. These college guys who play 8 minutes a game, putting up 2 points, and they're going number five. Like, what? When you got an All-American who put up, you know, close 20 points a game, and he's going in the bottom half of the draft. Like, what sense does that make? Maybe I'm just crazy. I'm just a unique individual, I guess, because if I'm drafting, I'm going with a proven product as opposed to, I mean, look, it pisses me off when juniors and seniors are late with all that. They've hit their ceiling. They've reached their ceiling. They don't have the potential to get much better. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah,
so, I don't know. It's so frustrating, the draft.
Right, so what's the order right now? Just magically stayed the way it is, what's the top 10?
As of right now, top 10 would be number 10, Miami. Number 9 is Charlotte. 8 is Detroit. 7 is Denver. 6 is Sacramento. 5, Orlando. 4, your Los Angeles Lakers. 3, Philly. 2, New York. And number 1, Minnesota.
Okay. We know all the ping pong balls and all that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the Cleveland Cavaliers are not in it to get another number 1 pick. That's just where they've been going.
Because they would have got it.
Yeah. Like, they're not in back yet. All right, here's another one for you. Shit.
Oh, man.
Oh, LeBron James didn't come play with y'all? Oh, I'm sorry. Here you go.
You can have Carl Anthony Towns.
What? So who do you like getting the number 1 pick? You told me, and then your reasoning, I was like, what?
Well, the number 1 pick, Minnesota needs to trade it. If they have the number 1 pick, trade that bitch.
Yeah, and we disagree on that.
I mean, I like, look, you got Andrew Wiggins. who is a piece you can build around.
Yes.
You have what's his name? Gordon Duang or Diang?
Yeah.
Who looked solid.
Okay.
So at least you have a backup big. You got Pekovic if he can stay healthy, which I know is always the if he can stay healthy.
Yeah,
I get
and,
it.
You know, they're starting over, so he could be a trade piece.
You got Anthony Bennett. I mean,
I think Daddy's Young is a free agent. Oh no,
they traded Daddy's right. Young. So I mean, for KG,
yeah.
I mean, at some point, Minnesota, and this is what kind of ticks me off about some of these teams. Minnesota has been asked for how long?
It's been a while.
Thank
probably
you.
Since they traded KG.
Thank you. You've consistently drafted and have not been good at it. How about you take a different approach and trade for maybe a vet? I'm like, with a number one pick, you can get a good-ass player. It ain't like you getting some weak sauce guy for the number one pick. You can get a good top-notch player for the number one pick.
But are you gonna, do you think you can get a Kevin Love-ish
player? Because my mind frame is, you got a guy coming in, pick. Okay, let's say hypothetically they pick Karl Anthony Towns number one.
Mm-hmm.
You truly believe he is immediately going to come in the league and he is just balling. No, it's going to take him years to develop.
So we felt that about.
So why wouldn't I trade it for a veteran who's already played, who's established, who I can be like, oh, plug in, you can already play. I don't have to worry about you having to develop your game over time.
Because if they were going to stick with that, they wouldn't have traded Kevin Love. When they traded Kevin Love,
well, first of all, if they had done the smart thing and gotten Klay Thompson, what would we be talking about right now? Minnesota would probably be in the playoffs.
Stupid.
Minnesota would probably be in the playoffs. Exactly.
That was Golden State's decision. And
well,
they chose not to.
Minnesota, as you can see, was trying to go for gold. They were like, we need somebody good and established. Exactly. You saw they went after Eric Bledsoe. We trying to get good, young, established talent. Okay. Not this rookie talent
but
again.
Once you got Andrew Wiggins.
You have a guy set, fine. Now get him a veteran who can teach him and show him the ropes. Who is established?
Who's
get you a big.
So who's going to
get you a big?
Well, name somebody who's going to trade that player for one of these young guys.
Fine. And I don't know if they'll do it.
Because not, like, there's no Cleveland-ish where it's like, hey, we just got two stars. We on a playoff run. And we got a pick.
Try to trade for Chris Bosh. Or, flip your number one pick. Grab David Lee and another prospect. Get your Harrison Barnes. Get your David Lee. Get you, a future and their number one pick from this draft. I mean, try to work something out. Don't sit here and pick another player who is going to have to develop 5 years and then he's going to leave because y'all suck and they never made the playoffs.
If you trade the pick and you get a quote-unquote stud.
Yes.
What's going to happen next year? I'm going to tell you what's going to
happen. Potentially, you have two stars.
No, what's going to happen next year is they're going to be right back in the draft lottery because they're not making the damn playoffs.
How do you know that?
Are they trading for Anthony Davis? Like, what? That's what I'm saying. Like, you got.
You don't know that.
Okay.
There you go.
You got Andrew.
There you go.
You had Andrew Wiggins. You
can't team him up with Anthony Davis. Team him up with Anthony Davis.
Well, of course they would. What's the name would take that?
Will you take the number one pick for Anthony Davis?
I'm not giving up fucking Anthony Davis. What?
And you could replace him with Karl Anthony Towns or Jahlil Okafor.
You should have given me, like, I'm not. I have Anthony Davis,
who's established. Thank you. That is exactly my point.
They're not giving. He's not like.
I'm not trying to get a rookie that I have to sit here and watch develop again for 5 years.
See, to me, Minnesota is on the. They're on the 5 year track.
They've been on the 5 year track for 15 years.
To me,
it is 2015. KG left. When 2000? What?
And they tried. They tried. Look, the Rubio shit ain't work. You tried with Kevin. Look, you drafted Kevin. You traded to get Kevin Love. You had Pekovic. You had who else did they have?
Kevin Martin.
Yeah, they tried. That was their 2-3 year. Let's try this. It didn't work. They were like 10th and all that. So it was like, you know what? Kevin Love griping. We don't want to be there no more. So what do you do? Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, this is what happened. If you just average, you either going to have to either swing for the fences and get a stud to come there while your team is average, or you're like, you know what? That's why they traded everybody. And like, come on,
then they need to draft Jahlil Okafor. Fuck this Karl Anthony Towns shit. If they gonna do that, then they need to get Okafor.
Okay.
Period. I don't want to hear Karl Anthony Towns. Well,
I want to see how it's gonna play out. It depends. They both young shit.
It's gonna take both of them 2-3 years.
Yeah, it's gonna take Andrew Wiggins is not leading you to the third fucking round to the conference finals next season.
But it'd be a little bit easier if you got a veteran sidekick.
No, same thing happened with they hoping to strike that Oklahoma City. Yeah. Oklahoma City you could have been like, won't you trade James Harden, get you a veteran? Nope. We drafted bam.
You're not trading the player, you're trading the pick.
Yeah, but they're not. They could have traded the pick, but they said they're doing what Oklahoma City doing.
And that's fine. And if they want to go that route, fine.
Yes, they've been
I disagree.
They've been asked. Okay. So who's number two then?
Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, so Minnesota, for you, Minnesota, you feel is going to be the first team since Cleveland did it with LeBron James to be the worst team and get the number one pick. You think they're going to get the number one pick?
Well, technically, they didn't have the number one pick last year. They traded.
I mean, when Cleveland picked LeBron James,
yes,
in that draft, that was the last time the team with the best chance to get the number one pick got it.
I believe Minnesota's getting the number one pick. Yes.
Who's your top? Who's next?
Number two.
Yeah.
I think Philly's going to be number two.
Mm. Okay.
And funny thing is, they're going to pass.
Yeah, they're going to trade
whatever. They either taking D'Angelo Russell out of Ohio State or they trading that pick. One of the two.
Yeah. Now Philly, because and who's your third before I tell you mine? Who you think's going to be in the third? Because those are all the spots that matter.
New York.
Okay. I'm going with we need to help out the big market team. So I'm telling y'all right now, this is what's going to happen.
New York Knicks one.
Knicks one.
Lakers two.
Lakers two. Philly third. Because, since you mentioned, to me, if Philly gets the number one and number two pick, they're trading it. Because you've already got Nerlens Noel.
Unless they trade Noel. Well, Embiid, since Twisted said they've already had problems with him. I'm like, oh, shit.
Now, I will say this, though. If you, I don't know.
Should we trade Noel and try to get Okafor? I mean, trade Embiid.
No, if you get,
should
if
we
you
trade Embiid and take Okafor since he can just he's ain't got to worry about health issue?
That's tough, dog. I would, because to me, I wouldn't think that. I hadn't heard all them sources about now Joel Embiid being an issue.
I mean, I heard that he. I don't know if he messed
up
on
right.
Yeah, I don't know if he was fucking around or what, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, but the way Philly been doing it, they'll just take the fucking pick. And just keep them.
Yeah.
I honestly thought they'd actually trade the pick. They're just like, oh, we got big.
I think they're gonna
if they get the number one pick, they listening to everybody.
Absolutely. They get number two pick. They taking D'Angelo Russell or they're trading him.
Okay.
Because he's a point guard. They need one.
Yeah, I have him as third. That way they don't have to make that decision. They take out of once Towns and Okafor are gone, who are clearly. Seem to be the number one and two, whatever order you got them, they're going to take the next best person.
D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And to me, my scenario is let's help them. Let's help out the teams. Let's help these big markets out. Let's have the freeze.
Let me tell you
the
something.
The freeze envelope.
If the Lakers don't get that top five pick and miss out on the lottery pick, laughing.
Dude, that is the main reason I am watching the draft.
That's the reason everybody's watching the draft.
Well, for all the other teams, but for everybody.
Everybody in Los Angeles
is waiting to hear when that day team called. Well, because they have another
pick.
They
can either breathe a sigh of relief or they can laugh and bitch.
Yeah.
So, because if they get the pick, you're kind of like, all right, they got the pick. You know. Now, I will say, if they get the fifth pick, though, it's kind of like,
You can find guys,
mm-hmm. But you're missing out on the cream of the crop.
That's what I'm thinking, like, come on, Adam Silver, bring in your new ring.
Because I'm like, once you get past Towns, Okafor, Russell, and Moutier, I mean, Justice Winslow, I'm kind of I'm not truly sold on yet because I really still haven't seen enough.
That guard from Barcelona.
Yeah, and you got the dude from from Croatia.
Yeah.
And then you got a Willie Trill.
Wasn't this the draft that Magic Johnson was saying, like, oh, this last year draft didn't have all them stars. This year got like three superstars. Mm-hmm. Okay, Magic, tell me who them dudes are.
Hey, Chicago get Frank Kaminsky. Mm. Please.
He's going to go somewhere nice. But this is exciting, man. As a person in Los Angeles, I hope the Lakers –
I do too. I hope they keep their lottery pick. I know, yeah, I shit on them a lot, but I truly do. I don't like seeing the Lakers as bad.
If they do not get their pick,
I'm laughing because that's so fucked up.
They are going
to
be
fucked up.
It's just even more behind it. It's basically you just like fuck another year down the drain. We're another. We could have been another year closer. Now we're another year of waiting. Because they technically would have two picks in the first round.
Yeah, because they have Cleveland's pick.
Yeah,
I mean Houston's pick. Excuse me. Oh, shit, that's funny.
That's bad.
Oh, that's funny.
But, yeah, that should be exciting. That's going to be Tuesday. That's always fun.
On a Tuesday.
So now we can start everybody doing their mock drafts.
Yep.
All right, y'all. Let's move on to the NFL.
All right.
Let's start with everything everybody talking about.
I'm so sick of hearing about it.
In case y'all ain't heard or you didn't know.
We know y'all have because it's on every station.
You know.
Channel 2, 5, 4, 11, every station is talking about that shit.
NFL suspending Tom Brady 4 games for, quote, conduct detrimental to the league in connection to that Deflategate.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots were stripped of their 2016 first-round pick and their 2017 fourth-round pick and fined $1 million.
Yeah, who cares?
And the Patriots are, of course, appealing that.
Of course they are. I mean, look, to me, a lot of this is because he lied.
Yes.
It was the way he conducted himself. He lied, bold, straight up to the public, to everybody. Said, no, I had no idea. I don't know anything about this. And I must say, looking at the interview, a lot of people were like, he looked uncomfortable. He did look uncomfortable. But, I mean, you know, being in a situation like that where you're answering questions about your integrity – you can expect some guys to be uncomfortable. I mean, it's just an uncomfortable position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he did lie, I mean, let's be real. I mean, come on. Tom Brady knew. And then the Patriots coming back with this whole the deflator, man. Oh, he was trying to lose weight and shit. I'm sitting here like.
Stop it.
Really? That's the best y'all got?
Man, this is some bullshit.
We know that ain't real. Just keep trying.
People who listen to the show know I am a big proponent. If you are going to punish an NFL team, you take their fucking draft picks from them.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they got their first round pick stripped from them. I loved it. Because I'm like, that is how you hit a fucking NFL team where it hurts. Fuck $1 million. I really didn't give a shit about the $1 million fine because that's a drop in the bucket. Nobody cares about that. Them two picks, though, that's what's up. That's how you punish a fucking team,
mm-hmm.
And that's how you keep other teams from cheating. You strip them of a first round pick. Ain't nobody fucking around with this shit no more.
No.
I'm not touching that one because you can't. Because them first round picks are like gold,
mm-hmm.
and you just losing your bargaining chip.
Yep.
So and we all know the Patriots are known for trading in the draft.
There's one less thing.
Thing to trade with, and it's a major piece. So.
Yeah.
I applaud the NFL for stepping in, doing what they had to do. I mean, look, Tom Brady was not cooperative with an investigation. They asked the man for his cell phone. He didn't want to give it up. It is what it is.
He played like he didn't know them dudes.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Tom Brady, look, us black folks don't know. We see people go to jail all the time. I watch First 48 all the time. I see all the shows, the cops and all that. I know, bro. I know. You don't want to admit you're guilty. You're guilty, nigga. You got caught. You got busted. It is what it is. You were not the golden child that everybody has proclaimed you to be. You were a little dirty. Mm-hmm. We all knew you were. We knew you were a little dirty.
Yeah, we seen it. I mean, people are like, oh, he Tom Brady. He got looks. He got a model wife. He still got dirt too,
just like everybody else.
Everybody be clean and all that shit. Like, look, people don't like him. And this is why. Even in them texts when I was reading, they were like, this dick.
He's an arrogant ass.
Yeah, I believe that.
He's an arrogant asshole.
Did that make him a whack football player?
No. I've told Chris this. His legacy isn't tainted in my eyes because of deflated fucking football.
No. Because to me, people And people are not talking about it and acting like they weren't there. Let's rewind to when we found out right after that game going into the Super Bowl. There was nobody who was like, yo, what if Tom Brady gets suspended 4 games? You're going to be like, 4 games for this bullshit?
And they came out and said in the second half they were regulation balls. Yeah. And they stomped them, what, 24-0? Yeah. So, I mean, you're kind of like, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. And if Indy knew, they'd have been like, oh, well, fuck, let's just don't say nothing, nigga. They can't score with these deflated balls.
And this is the first time. This isn't the first time we've seen guys try to get a competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, people bring up Jerry Rice, who used to stick them on his hands. Yeah, but I mean, I use the same analogy with anybody else. Like Jerry Rice, you still got to run the routes. Mm-hmm. You still got to get open. You still got to be able to catch the ball. You still got to be able to run for the touchdowns. Tom Brady, you still got to be able to stop the passes that are coming on defense. I mean, it's not like, okay, the ball's deflated. It has super spin on it that the defender can't possibly grab the ball. I'm like, dude, you still got to stop the plays. Yeah. You still got to get to the quarterback, sack the quarterback, guard, you know, cover the wide receiver. You still got to stop them, regardless of if the balls are deflated. So he got 4 chips. You can't take them away. Fuck you, NFL. That's what Tom Brady is thinking right now.
Yeah. He's like, what? I won. I got it. You're not going to take away my thing.
And I'm not going to say this legacy's tarnished.
No, because it's like, oh, he's a cheater. Okay. Is he still going down as probably
one of the best quarterback of all time?
Top five quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
You know, does that mean he ain't a 4-time champion? It was like with Bill Belichick. Oh, he the whole Spygate. So does that mean he's probably not a top five Hall of Fame football coach? No.
This is just another thing that if you don't
like him, you just like this. Is another thing that's like, see, that's why I don't fuck with them dudes.
But I'm like, this is just another thing that's come up on the NFL. Somebody trying to get a competitive advantage, and the NFL's going to have to, you know, stop it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had the stick him. You had the whole when Mike Shanahan and the Broncos with the chop blocking. Yeah. Now that's a penalty. I mean, you did everybody tries to find a competitive edge somehow. Yeah.
And now the big thing is the report was not definitive. It was like you knew what was going on.
More probable than not.
Probably not that you knew this was happening.
Which means more than likely your ass knew.
Right. You know, and they're like,
so
well,
what's the problem? There's no concrete evidence.
Do you think it's going to get dropped?
No. His suspension? Yes. I think it's going to go down 2 games.
Yeah. See, and I thought going in, he'd get 1 game to most. The other 2 games is because you lied and made us look bad. Mm-hmm. That's what the other – because I'm like, 4 games for this shit?
That's what the harsh
shit?
Punishment was for, because of the lying and the covering up and the fact that this is like the umpteenth time that y'all have been, as Chris Canty said, habitual line steppers. Y'all always towing that line. The NFL's like, we're fucking tired of it. Knock it off.
And now supposedly
– Jesus.
What's the name? Commission supposed to be over this.
I love that. Oh, y'all think y'all slick want to appeal? I'm riding on this horse, bitch. We'll see what I decide.
Yeah, people were kind of like when it first went down, like, oh, this is Goodell boy, Robert Kraft. I don't know if it could possibly still be that.
I mean, he is overseeing
it.
If it
gets dropped to, you know, I do think
that's
the
what
fines,
I expect.
Yeah, I do too. The fines to the teams should stay.
Absolutely, they still should be docked that damn draft pick. Hell yes. That is for previous Tuck Rule and Spygate and all that other shit.
You cheated once, and now you cheated again, so now we're going to make your punishment even more so.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it'll get down. And hopefully by the end of the – and I guess I heard, you know, this may be interesting since the first game of the season they playing –
Pittsburgh.
The Pittsburgh, who got their own people out.
And my
suspension.
Wife is so happy. I ain't got to worry about Tom Brady.
Well, they trying because I'm like losing. I mean, you losing your
star quarterback.
I'm
like, you better win that game.
Because yeah. Granted, it's a lot. 4 games is a lot for that.
But
then you look at the season, when you recall how many games, you're like, oh, we lose this nigga for a quarter of a season. Yeah, that's a lot.
That's big. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you have to keep in mind, too, that Jimmy Garoppolo is being groomed as Tom Brady's successor. So
yeah, people are like, well, when they had Matt Castle, they went 11-5.
I mean, he's been under the system for a year.
So if now I got to say, like, look, Buffalo,
Jets, Dolphins, this is your time to take a quick lead.
Yeah, you better do something because
take a quick lead.
Even without the even if the suspension held up,
people still picking New England to win the division.
Who won the division, New England? Damn, it don't even matter. Even with all their losses of personnel.
Because of the quarterback situation in all the teams.
Yeah, it's just this is
that's just what it is.
This is just stupid to me. I'm like, why y'all made y'all made it sound real dumb when it happened. Now all of a sudden it's a big ass deal. And now it's like, oh, well now we gotta look into whether this whole deflating ball thing.
And I am sorry, ESPN. Stop talking about it, please. I know y'all are like these sports people.
You were talking about it, and I get that.
Fucking golly. I mean, I am so every time I turn, they talking about it. Especially, stop talking about that shit on First Take. That needs to not be another topic on that show. For what? They repeat the same five things every time. I'm so sick. I'm this close to turning not watching that show anymore.
I've part of it at the time I stopped. It's just, I couldn't.
God damn, man. Tired of talking about the same two things.
To me, it's like a reality show. Like when they were handling.
Like when they were talking about the Pacquiao fight. Like three quarters of the show is the Pacquiao. I'm like, what more can y'all talk about?
Yes, we know one of y'all pulling for Manny, one of y'all pulling for Floyd.
God.
Are either one of y'all changing your minds about some shit? Nope.
Help me beat a dead horse. Jesus Christ. Yeah,
they will kill that shit. About talking about that and fucking Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, this is, look, this is. Their thing about it's because it's cheating.
Yeah.
I've heard they're going to look into the rules about just when, how long before they can get the balls. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, okay, is this really a big deal? Figure it the hell out.
Yep.
Get it over with. I don't care. I don't care.
Thank you.
It's not important. Nobody, oh, you deflated the ball. Okay. Oh, yes. The game where after they found the balls and fixed it, they went and kicked ass?
I mean, come on.
Okay, so
what are we really talking about here? It's deflated football.
Yeah, I mean, now if you want to tell me that we have evidence that they've deflated the balls for like 2 years in a row for every game, okay, then you got my attention. Then I'm like, oh, they cheating every game? Okay, you know.
Exactly.
Especially for something that people are saying a lot of these players do all the time. So come on, man. You want to talk about something important? Let's talk about something new. Seahawks reportedly will not give Russell Wilson – $20 million per year. Sounds like his extension is unlikely. It's looking like I've heard looking like he's trying to get 20 plus mil.
Well, I know they're trying to extend Bobby Wagner too.
Yeah.
They declined the option for Irving.
Yeah, I heard that.
So, I mean, they're trying, but it's hard when you build around a running game and your quarterback is not really truly carrying the team.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, like a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, you're like, these dudes are carrying the load.
Right.
As opposed to Seattle, it's like Marshawn Lynch is carrying that load. Mm-hmm. So you got a ring, you got us to a ring, you know, but that was in majority part to Legion of Boom. And Marshawn Lynch, taking nothing away from Russell Wilson.
No, I mean, thing is, it's not like they're not trying to pay him.
But we can't play you like a top five quarterback if you're not playing like a top five quarterback.
He want Andrew Luck money.
And he ain't Andrew Luck.
No, we're like, he's, in terms of young quarterbacks, he's right
there.
Behind him.
He's up there.
If you want to call him elite.
But he's not a guy like Andrew Luck who is going to carry a team on his back.
He's not on an offense and a team.
He's not elite.
$20 million a
year. He's not elite.
Now, if he want to say, like, you know what, fine, give me a 3-year extension. Because my guess is they're trying to pay him around $17-18 million a year. I mean, they're trying to pay him like Andy Dalton. Yeah, no, fuck that. No, you know, I'm not getting 13. No, you giving me 17, 18 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And it should land around, I would say, 18, I think. Would be fair for both.
Yeah.
He wants 20-something. I mean, you might be like, yeah
that's
bruh.
A little too much. It's
and I know the much. Whole baseball, trying to get some leeway.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. If Seattle, we know people overpay for quarterbacks. We know it's a quarterback league.
Yep.
Everybody got to pay the quarterback. And it's not like they're not trying to pay. It's just like, dude, this team is built as a team.
Yeah.
We got to pay the defense. You want some cast to throw to, right?
Exactly.
Because as soon as we pay your ass, then you're going to be like, well, I need some help. Well, nigga.
We ain't got no money.
Yeah, you took it.
So, and they trying to keep the damn captain of their defense, bruh.
So he may be going into his last year, which will be interesting.
They franchising him anyway. Yeah, that'll make a difference. He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Come on.
He got a couple years. He's going to be there.
Exactly.
But it's just always not pissing the guy off. It's
questions in the air.
Yeah. Jaguars rookie Dante Fowler. Number three pick.
Bad for that kid, man.
Tears his ACL less than an hour into the first day of rookie minicamp, done for the season. I was like, you ain't even played an hour? You stepped on it. I was like, God, this is fucked up. Yeah, you ain't even finished a whole day of your first taste of NFL football, and you done for the season. Yeah. Damn, bro.
No offense to that kid, but that is a wasted pick this year. Like, that was
and
such,
it's not his fault.
It's not. No offense to Dante Fowler, like, but damn, that is such a waste of a fucking pick this year. Like, damn it. I guess the silver lining is he will be 100% going into next season.
Yeah.
He got more than enough time to get ready and get healthy. And who knows? If the Jags somehow miraculously make a playoff run, he could be back.
Yeah.
He could be back.
Or they could just suck and end up getting number one pick, which could turn out to be a quarterback that they want. You never know how them things play out. But that was some bad.
That was suck.
I hated that news.
Yeah.
I saw the Cowboys landed a La'el Collins because that was a big thing. How we were talking about on the last though?
Yeah.
What the fuck? How this dude fell out?
I was still shocked. I could not believe that he fell out of the draft. But
Cowboys apparently locked him up.
His agent was like, "Yeah, after the draft, all 29 teams. I'll bet they asses did. Mm-hmm. I bet they asses did." Call.
And the funny thing is, it's like, oh, where are you going? Get to the team that's loaded and on the offensive line. Like, oh, thanks.
But he has a chance to start at left guard apparently.
Oh, okay.
To even bolster that line even more. It's like Jesus. The rich get richer.
Yeah. What else we got on the docket? Oh, since we Manny Pacquiao, off-the-top excursion on that right shoulder, did not disclose the injury to the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Injury happened 2.5 weeks before the fight. Of course, Mayweather says a rematch is not happening, and I call bullshit.
Well, it was kind of funny because I was watching First Take when Stephen A was like, breaking news, Mayweather said he'll do a rematch. And then I guess a few days later, he was like, nah, I changed my mind. I don't want to do a rematch. It's like, I don't rematch with a coward and a punk and all that. And I'm sitting here like,
look,
bruh, I get it. And I get it, too. I get it. Well, Floyd won, and then I didn't want to hear that shit
My
shoulder hurt. I didn't want to hear that shit from Pacquiao. So I get it from that perspective where you're like, this punk-ass nigga, I beat him, and then he want to come out calling, he hurt now. And I'm like, I get that. But at the same time, bruh. Really, we know how this goes.
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand that people who are mad, I'm just like, look, put yourself in Manny Pacquiao position. You hurt your shoulder 3 weeks before the fight. That's paying you $80 million.
Did you really expect me to be like, my shoulder hurt, I can't fight.
Yeah, and let's push this fight off to possibly
a year.
Yeah, or will you just be like, you know what, I'm going to go in here, fight, cash out.
And then be like, I fucked my shoulder up.
Right, and then, oh. You know, because, I mean, look, people were like, oh, he wasn't 100%. That means to me that, okay, well, he's going to fight again, lose again.
And I'm not paying that $125 for that fight.
Yes. Shit, man, look, I ain't mad at Manny at all. Like, I'm not passing up $80 million.
Oh, hell no.
I mean, it's any other sport. It's like, hey, look, you hurt. You may not be able to play in the Super Bowl. What you going to do? I ain't saying shit.
Yep.
And then come out, oh, we hear that on sports all the time. Oh, we found it afterward. Dude played with, his arm was broken.
Yep.
He's like.
And after the fact, I don't care.
Yeah, you're like, what?
I'm sorry.
I'm playing.
It's like when they came out with the Broncos after they lost the playoffs, told Peyton Manning tore his quad. I was like, I don't give two shits about Peyton Manning now. Like, don't tell me after the fact.
Right.
Tell me he tore that shit in week 10. Oh, that's why he was playing so shitty. Don't tell me after the fact. Right, well,
because guys don't want to.
I don't care. It's he don't want to admit it, and that's fine. But right.
Because you're like, he's playing. Okay, so is he not playing? And of course not. He's going to be like, nah, I'm playing.
And that, there it is.
Yeah, but I'm not buying it. I'm like, look, okay, take a year.
Yep.
Take some time. And if you find out, Floyd Mayweather, that you're going to make another 120-some-odd damn million dollars.
You fighting.
For fighting again. Guess what you're going to do? Ain't you money team?
Yep.
How are you going to turn on that kind of money? And people, I ain't paying again. Because it's going to be, you're going to win again.
I'm following on Twitter again.
Because yeah. You're going to be playing defensive.
Yep. Boring.
You know.
Boring. Call it what it is. Boring.
Effective, but boring.
Boring. Thank you. He's a boring-ass fighter to watch. Yeah.
You got your record. Hey,
Good for you.
Right. You're not about entertaining.
You about wins.
Yeah.
You about the job at hand. That's, I ain't mad at you.
And people come at you because they don't like you. So they're like, I want to see him get his butt kicked because I don't like him.
They think you're an arrogant ass.
Yeah, which you are.
Which you are.
You know, but hey, you good at what you do.
Yeah.
You're absolutely not top five, but you're good at what you do.
And yeah, you ain't better than Ali, bro. I will never give you that one.
You ain't in top five.
You can believe it,
yes,
but it ain't true.
Will he go down as one of the best? Yes.
Absolutely.
But he ain't at the
he ain't better than he Ali. Ain't
the elite best.
He ain't better than Ali. That was an insult.
Man, a lot of them do.
Ali Boumaye.
Oh, man. This was some shocking. The ESPN not renewing the contract of Bill Simmons.
I was what? I saw it on Twitter, and I was like, is this for real?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit, he really ain't coming back. I'm like, and y'all keeping Grantland? Y'all are fucked up.
Yeah, because I guess they're home. And he said,
how you going to keep what I made?
Yeah, you seen the tweets. He's kind of done. He's leaving. And you know, and he helped push the 30 for 30 series, which has been a great series.
Even my wife has started getting into it. She's kind of watching it. We just saw the one again about the Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah.
And the boss and just all that. So they've been good, yeah.
You know, they don't try to make one person bigger than the station.
Yeah.
He was getting away. I mean, he had that moment where he openly challenged his bosses to fire him.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what.
Talking that shit on his podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What they going to do?
They suspended him.
Yeah. But. You know, he's cool. I mean, I don't love his work.
I'm not the biggest
guy,
fan.
The guy knows his basketball. But yeah,
he knows his stuff. He does.
I enjoy reading some of them Grantland comments. ESPN seems to have it in the bag. Look, clearly. They're going to lean to one person who is not going to get fired.
Yeah.
And that is going to be Skip Bayless.
Absolutely.
And when it's his time for a contract renewal, he getting paid.
Yep.
I mean, I think Simmons was making something around $3 million and he wanted $6 million. But what he's creating, I guess, is not bringing in the pool as these, you know, topical shows. Because Skip will throw out some bullshit and we'll have a lot of us just being like, what?
And you got,
hell no.
And you got the reactions on Twitter.
Yeah, and tuning in and responding. And you're just like, hey, yeah, we like this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
It moves the dial.
Yeah. So, you know, that was shocking. I know Bill Simmons is going to land somewhere and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes. But that was some shocking news to come out.
Absolutely.
All right, y'all. It's time to get into our award segment. We'll first start off with the Norse Award.
Norse.
All right, I know you got a few. For me, I have two. First one, I got to give a Norse Award out to this great second round of the playoffs. Playoffs have been really great. Battles, some blowouts, but a lot of drama. You know, Bulls not pulling out. Clippers falling flat on their face. Washington, Atlanta giving us great TV. You know, and Memphis putting up a fight. I still absolutely like Memphis. And, you know, we'll see how the finals go. And I got to give one, minus North, what, to straight Steph Curry for hitting that damn 60-footer in game 6, which was a foul, by the way. Jeff Green did get fouled by Iguodala. You know, but as they always say, if you don't stop playing until you hear the whistle – everybody stopped. That was Steph Curry. He grabbed it. I'm going to just hoist this joint. Brent makes the basket. They go up 8. And that, to me, was like, yep, you're finished. Because the fourth quarter, they had absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that was like, yeah, and your momentum is gone.
Yeah.
Like, damn. So, shout out to Steph Curry. That was a great shot. That was like, oh, somebody hit a half-court shot.
Of course, right?
Yeah, because he's the MVP.
All right, so for the Norse Awards, first off, let me get a shout-out before I shit on him, to the Bulls for Derrick Rose and that game winner he made, game 3. But I just wanted to, definitely want to give a shout-out to Derrick Rose. With everything he's been through with the injuries, everything leading up to this point, people doubting, basically waiting to see when he's going to get hurt in the playoffs. For him to make that game-winning shot, you know, at the buzzer, it was just a good moment to see for him. Saw the embrace he had with his teammates, and I'm sure the face has been memed 1,000 times on Twitter. And then, I mean, it was just good to see, just happy for Derrick Rose. You know, people thought he was done. I mean, people truly thought this man was done, especially after the second injury he had this season. People thought he was finished, and he gutted it out. He came back to the playoffs. And granted, he was erratic at times, but he made an impact nonetheless. And it was just happy to see, I was just glad to see him end the season healthy, relatively healthy. That way he can just focus on playing next year and not have to worry about health so much. So just shout out to him. That was a nice moment for him. Next one, got to give it to Paul Pierce for another game winner. That game three against Atlanta. Bank game done. We win. We going home. And then he was interviewed by the great Chris Broussard. Chris Broussard was like, "Did you call bank?" He was like, "I called game. Game." And then left. And Chris Broussard was about to ask him another question. He was like, "Nigga, I'm out of here." I love Paul Pierce. He is the truth for a reason.
Yeah, man.
They call him the truth for a reason. Inglewood represent. I'm loving it, man. Loving it. I love Paul Pierce. And there's very few of them in the NBA. He's old school.
Mm-hmm.
He is an old school type of player. And he's not, you know, some of these new, young, evolved guys. He ain't like that. He's not the fastest anymore. He never really was.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't. I mean, he was pretty athletic, but now that his athleticism has left him, I mean, he's still crafty as hell. He's so old school, man. Yeah. And just the way he talks shit is old school.
Yeah.
He learned from the best. KG, where you at? I'm loving it. So shout out to him. And then my last Norris Award, wanted to give it to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dante Fowler, as Chris and I spoke about, got hurt in the rookie minicamp prior to signing his contract. So he had to sign a waiver to play. But nonetheless, he got hurt, and the Jags still gave him a fully guaranteed contract. So I thought that was a nice gesture on their part. They didn't have to do that, especially considering you tore your ACL.
Yeah.
So long term, we don't know how that's going to affect you. I thought it was really classy of them and a nice move to give him a still fully guaranteed contract. And I heard with his first signing bonus, he bought his mom a new car. That was like the first thing he did with his money. So, I mean, you root for these guys, and I can't wait to see this kid come back because he's supposed to be a dominant piece for them. So, shout out to the Jags. Very classy move by the organization.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Moving on to the what the fuck moment.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
All right, man, what you got?
All right, number one, first, what the fuck to the Bulls for quitting game six? I'm just still cannot believe my team quit. They quit with a capital W. They quit in game six, and I'm just disgusted by that effort. I never want to see that game again. If I see one highlight from that game, turn it off. I don't ever want to see or remember that game again because that was terrible, absolutely terrible. Next, what the fuck? It was just the weirdest thing, but just to the camp injuries that these NFL rookies were going through. You had Dante Fowler who got hurt, and then you had there was an undrafted free agent from the Texans who tore his Achilles. I forget the gentleman's name. You had Jeff Heuerman from the Broncos, tight end, tore his ACL. You just had dudes dropping left and right in the rookie camps, and you're just like, is this a sign of things to come for the regular season? Because I sure hope not. I'm like, if these young guys are getting hurt this early, I really am praying this is not a sign that Peyton Manning something gonna happen, or, you know, Aaron Rodgers, something gonna happen. Somebody getting hurt. And I'm like, please don't let this be the NBA season all over again in the NFL season. I do not want to see all the best players getting hurt throughout the fucking season again. Like, oh, come on. It's just like with the playoffs this year, you're like, oh, my God, another injury?
It was guard-heavy injury, man.
God, man. So
Mike Conley, Pat Beverly, John Wall.
Kyrie Irving. Like, please, God. Chris Paul.
Chris Parker.
Like, come on, God. Please, yeah. don't let this be the NFL
Kevin
season.
Kevin Love got out.
And then my
Saul. Shit just keep going.
Thank you. And then my last what the fuck. And my most serious what the fuck goes to the gentleman by the name of Stuart Butler, who played former running back for Marshall University, was kicked off the team after being arrested and charged with assault for allegedly beating two gay men.
Mm.
That shit is, I,
Ain't no place for that, man.
Yeah. Apparently, from what they said happened was he got out of a car, saw these two dudes kissing, started yelling expletives at him and vulgar, you know, derogatory things at him, and basically just went up and fucked him up. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, you know, come on, man. There's no place for that. You don't need to. It's just goddamn. Like, we're not there. I mean, clearly we're not there yet.
No.
As a society. I no. mean, granted, I know it's
maybe another generation we will be.
It's just one of those things. Like, dude, at this point, people are more conscious of it mm-hmm. than we have in years past. So you have to understand that things like this are going to happen. Do some of us like it? No. Does it make us uncomfortable? A little bit. If that's the case, look away. Nobody said you had to stare at them.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, just keep passing by. Just keep it moving. But, I mean, to sit here, start talking shit about them, and yelling expletives, derogatory terms, and then beating these niggas down? Really? What was going through your mind?
Right.
I mean, seriously, what truly was going through your head?
You got a lot of hatred in his heart.
That has to be it, because I'm like, you must hate and be a homophobic. Because
yeah,
I'm like,
karma's a bitch.
And when you in jail,
you get kicked out,
and if you go to jail, keep your butthole tight. Yep, that's all I'm gonna say.
Because now you go this, and maybe you just pretty much blew your chance at getting in the NFL.
Yep.
So,
especially beating two homosexuals.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
They're not touching you.
They ain't nobody in the league touching you. So what the fuck to this gentleman? And goddamn, what the fuck to society since we're still dealing with this shit?
Yeah, it's real sad. All right, for me, I got a few. The first one, it's old, but I got it. It's rehashing it again for my damn Spurs blowing fucking game 7. Because I'm like, we could have been going. We would have been going to the finals. We would have beat both of these teams.
Mm.
Houston, we not choking a 3-1 game series lead.
Mm.
It's just like, damn it. I was like, all right. Like I said, I had picked Houston to win, but I was hoping the Clippers would do it. They had a chance. I'm just like, why did you waste the win? If you didn't want to show up, don't show up against the Spurs.
Oh, man.
Thanks. Just wasting my fucking time. I'm like, that could be my team.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah, next one is going to New York.
He's a little upset.
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas is hired as the general manager of the New York Liberty.
They brought him back. He can't stay away from James Dolan, can he?
Yeah, I don't look, I see him, does a lot of stuff on TV with NBA TV. I don't know him personally, see him like a cool dude. It's just that situation with New York and mm-hmm. that group ended bad.
Yeah, really
to bad. The point where it's like, yeah, this dude, he can be your homie. It would be best if you did not employ him.
Didn't he have like harassment charges?
Yes. In any kind of form. He had the harassment charges. He ran the Knicks organization into the ground.
And now you're going to the Women's League.
Yeah, and I've seen them trying to handle it pretty good. They just like, look, it's here. We just going to deal with it. He's GM, may be part owner of the team.
Oh, God.
I hope, in all sakes, it goes positively. But I'm just like, James, what, man? Just pay him to hang around you then. But don't actually get him in a position. Give him some bull-ish consulting his job or whatever that doesn't have a whole bunch of power that you can pay him to hang around and kick it with you. Because that's what it seems. Like, why are you drawing more negative commentary, but you know, clearly with your emails of talking shit to fans,
yep.
you just like negativity being thrown at you and your team, which I'm sure Phil Jackson is not happy with. Like, oh, thanks, here we go. Well, at least that takes it away from us and suckers. And
my
last what the fuck moment, and I had to remember this, I forgot how I didn't write this down. This situation with Chris Webber and Jalen Rose. That came out recently where Chris was talking a little bit of trash on the Dan Patrick show, and then Jalen Rose came back and was talking moments. I mean, this shit is just ugly. I found some of the transcript when he was on. If I'm able to find a video and have time to put it up, I'll put it up for y'all. But some of this was The feeling of us, Ray Jackson, Jimmy Juwan, Jay, is that it ended in love. So, you know, when you have a clown, it's like, I made an agreement when I joined the Fab Five not to be above the group. There was a chance to be above the group. There was a chance to follow all that. And I have said consistently as a member, no one is above the other. I've sat here and, you know, and heard the people in the documentary say I called time out on purpose. How could you do that? Now, 20 years ago, when I went to the league, we didn't mention it. It was a young 20-year-old crying in the back of the van saying, I'm coming back. We're going to win this championship for everyone. That's what it was. That's what that was. So to hear people now just to be famous, it's like our whole heart was in not being loved. Like, you know, if you compared the sports world, it was us being the Bill Laimbeer. I remember that he went to Chicago's floor and put his hands up and said, boo me. Because he knew the truth of who he was. He knew he worked hard. He knew maybe he wouldn't win tonight, but thought, why am I going to dim my light? Why am I going to beg you for your love if when I have to do that, it's not going to be sincere anyway? Then it was like, so it was a good feeling when I left. I did something so stupid that after I left Golden State because of a contract dispute, not because of Coach Nelson, when I left there, where did I go? I went to the worst team in the league to be with Juwan. Because he was my friend. I knew that we would practice and work hard every day. I know there's more in the video. And Jalen Rose comes out. One dude traveled, didn't call timeout. One dude lied to the grand jury and hasn't apologized. One dude tried to circumvent the documentary to HBO. One dude ignored multiple requests from everyone involved after agreeing to participate. One dude played like President Obama and sat in a suite during Michigan's recent title game. One dude slandered Ed Martin after all he did for him and his family. One dude is not in contact with the other four, which is all good. One dude has been doing a rebuttal doc for 4 years. One dude clearly is delusional and still in denial, Rose said of Weber in a message to Larry Brown Sports. Congrats on your amazing success. Respect had no price. Man up. It's like, God damn. She just getting a hug. I was like, hey, I guess that Fab Five situation didn't work out best for everybody.
Yeah, seriously.
That's one of the things I'm just like, look, y'all harboring all this beef 20-plus years. Both of y'all have done well in your careers, made a lot of money. Both of you guys are working for doing analysts for two different networks. There's no need for that shit.
Yeah.
I know he didn't want to participate. Weber didn't want to participate in the documentary. And I can feel, I'm sure, for certain reasons. It's just, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it goes deep.
Okay, yeah. Like somebody, some folks is hurt bad.
Butt hurt.
Seriously. But, you know, hey, as a fan, Fab Five was the shit.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, a lot of people did not like them, but it was always fun to watch. So, with that, we want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. You can listen to our show via iTunes, via SoundCloud, via Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. All you have to do is search for Black Is, Brothers Layman. You'll find us. You can also find us on the website, blackisonline.com. If you'd like any feedback, we'd love to hear from you on iTunes. Give us a rating or review. That helps us out very much. If you are so inclined, you'd like to make a donation, you can donate on the website. We have a donate button there. Please make sure you check out some of the other shows that are on the Black Is Network. Besides Brother Layman Sports Happy Hour, we got The Break, hosted by Casey Layman. A lot of great roundtables discussion. Just dropped one on Bruce Jenner and all that situation.
I was listening to that.
We was going deep. That was fun. You can also check out The Jam, hosted by Merc 80.
The Jam.
That's a great show as well. So, you know, please check us out. Please tune in.
Absolutely.
If y'all want to get at us directly, you can reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. You can reach us via the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely want to give a shout out to some of the other podcasters who show us love, Spirit and Storm from the Hoopla Show.
Yeah.
On the G-Spot Network, you know what I'm saying? Moody, of course. Want to give a shout out to the Hip Hop Digest, E-Color, King Killer.
Kirk G.
Shout out to you gentlemen. I told them the joints that I will be playing for a few weeks will be dedicated to them. We know how they love them jail niggas, you know? So I will be giving y'all some jail niggas.
Be prepared.
But definitely, if you definitely enjoyed the show, go ahead and tell all your loved ones. For the first time listeners, thank you for taking the time to just check us out and see what we're about up in the happy hour. For the long time listeners, we definitely want to thank you for tuning in with us and hanging with us for the long haul. If you enjoyed the show, go ahead and tell all your loved ones. Tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Let's see who we got. Tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. I'm feeling cartoonish, so go ahead and tell everybody from Family Guy. Tell Peter. Tell Lois, tell Brian, Stewie, of course, Chris.
Quagmire.
You know, Quagmire. Meg. tell Cleveland, you know. Tell Bonnie and Joe. You know, who's the new black dude? Who's my boy?
Tell them all at the clam.
There you go. Tell them all at the clam. Tell them all at the clam. Tell Cheryl Teagues. Tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
Say Tony on track. Say Chicken. Gucci. So I should time it. What's up,
man? They call me Shep on IGC.
Mine's like fat, and my truck roll hard. just like Shout the Flash. Uppercut your ass, nigga. Just like Ace. Got fetish for the stones. Just like folks. Money's all like, bro. Yours like D. And my patience very short. Just like Court to see. And your B recipe. But it's your choice. My girl ain't your pussy deep. Like Slick Man voice. Like Red 03. Man, I got bread. My pocket on swole like HB 4-head. I'm a money go getter. Some like it Ted. Got a hundred whole jacket. Just like throwback. Just like we present the Trap-a-thon. That's a money making marathon. Cause Gucci man, I'm a trapaholic. I'm addicted to the trap. You feel me? I'm in East Lumps on 6 right now. Shit in the trap house. I got my 8 orders to cook. You feel me? I feel like a motherfucking Waffle House chef right now. Chill, chill, chill. Gucci man, the flat man, so I should time it. Cop.